Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today, my guest on the Sourcing Hero podcast is Jan Griffiths. Jan is a former automotive industry chief procurement officer and vice president of supply chain that is now combining her passion and philosophy to transform work experiences across companies and industries. As a keynote speaker, she is known for getting the audience and the other speakers to dance on stage in front of other people as the first step on their journey away from traditional corporate leadership. So, hi, Jan. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Kelly. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Now, for everybody that's listening in, you're just going to have to play along here. We are somewhat limited by the audio-only format of a podcast. So just assume through all of Jan's answers that she is dancing in real life. You're just going to have to sort of provide that mental image yourself. But for Jan, for folks that have not met you in the past or seen you speak or engaged with you online, can you just share a little bit more about your current role and your focus on a daily basis?
Yes, absolutely. As you said, I left my wonderful, fabulous corporate job that I had spent my entire career getting the C-suite position that many of us aspire to get to. And then, of course, I decided to leave that role and pursue my passion, which is leadership. And the crazy thing about when you do something like that, Kelly, is you say, okay, you know, my passion is leadership. So I'm going to start my own business. That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Now, what exactly am I going to do? I didn't know anything about being an entrepreneur. And this business has taken many twists and turns. But one thing that has remained true and constant, and that is my mission and my purpose. I am on a mission to transform the work experience. I want to break the mold of corporate leadership, that mold that I worked in my entire career. I want to break it. I want authentic leadership to shine through. I want people to live, eat, and breathe and be who they are in their own skin and bring all of that to the workplace and feel great about it. Kelly, it can happen. I know it can. And that's what I'm on a mission to do. And I do that in a number of different ways. You mentioned speaking gigs. I love speaking gigs. I just did one in Detroit. It's at the Motor City Casino, and it's an event space. It's a venue called Soundboard. So it's where there's rock bands and comedians there. So I would say that is the biggest stage so far for me. And oh my gosh, I was like a crazy person up there dancing. And it was a young leaders group. And I actually, at one point I'm on stage and I said, wait a minute, the 50 something woman has more energy dancing to AC/DC than you people. Come on. I have taken my brain and all of my experience, and I have dumped it into an online course. And true to form, I said to myself, oh, yeah, I'm just going to do an online course. Yeah, that's what I'll do. And then you get into it and you realize how much bloody work it is. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
What have I done?
Exactly. What have I done? I think it's going to be great when it's done. It's not done yet. It's going to be finished at the end of September. But so that's it. That's another thing that I do. And then, of course, my podcast, Finding Gravitas, where I interview people who really are authentic leaders, because it's one thing to talk about how to be an authentic leader, but I want to hear from people who are putting it into practice every single day so that people can learn from that experience. So that's me.
Well, and it's interesting because you talk about sort of the different formats, right? There's the in-person up on stage. There's the workshop converted into digital format. There's the podcast. But it all kind of centers around this philosophy of authentic leadership. What is authentic leadership? How is it different from, what do you say, conventional leadership, traditional leader? What is really authentic leadership and how is it different?
That's a great question, Kelly. And I had never heard the term really, authentic leadership. I had felt it and known what it was all of my life, but I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know there was a term for it. And as I started to make that decision to leave my corporate role, I was sick and tired of assimilating into this model of corporate leadership, of being what people wanted me to be. And it's different. Every company's got a slightly different culture, but I would say the main elements of that corporate culture were the same. And the games people play in the boardroom, this idea that, you know, you make yourself look good by making others look bad, that sometimes you work in a culture where even at a VP level, if you're not in the weeds, somehow you're judged for not being into the detail when really what you want to focus on elevating the team and looking onward and upward and more advanced. So this is, I mean, I could go on and on and on. There's so many games that we play in the world, in the corporate world, the corporate model of leadership that I grew up in. And then, oh, those meetings. Oh my God, shoot me now.
Put those with the workshops. No meetings, no workshops.
Oh, those meetings. And what about those meetings that you're in where they're monthly meetings and then somebody just tweaks a little number on the PowerPoint, right? And it's the same bloody meeting. It's the same stuff. And then people get stuck into this cadence, right? Of, oh, well, this is the blah, blah, blah meeting and we've got to have this every month and this is what we do. And then, wait for it, there's the pre-meeting to get ready for the meeting.
Well, someone has to change that number on the slide, Jan.
Oh, my God.
Those numbers don't change themselves.
The alignment meeting. What the hell is that? That's some kind of bullshit right there. So anyway, having lived through all of that, and I know people are listening to this podcast going, oh, yeah, I know exactly what she's talking about, right? So I know that there's a better way. And I didn't want to come to work and have to fit this mold. I wanted to come to work as me, as that rebellious farm girl with lots of good intentions. I love and care about the people on my team, and I wanted to show that and not be considered weak, you know, not be judged, well, she's just not tough enough, you know, because I actually care about people. Mm-hmm. And then once I was told that I trusted my team too much, you know what? Isn't that what leadership is? So I get sick and tired of that fitting that corporate mold. And then I realized that so many companies out there still operate that way. And that's because that's the model that assured their success as CEOs and senior leaders, right? So why change it?
Well, at least from their perspective, right? Now we've talked about how leadership can be done differently. And I can certainly appreciate, you know, you'd want to have a leader that certainly cares, that is invested, that doesn't waste people's time just because everybody else has a monthly meeting. But what are some of the most meaningful ways you have actually seen someone who espouses the authentic leadership philosophy, really lives it out every day in practice? How does it actually materially affect the people on their team?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, people, first of all, to be an authentic leader, you have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to know who you are. You have to be very self-aware. You have to be open to feedback. And you have to be able to show a level of vulnerability. And that, I think, is probably the most difficult trait of an authentic leader. Somebody who's moving away from the traditional model knows deep down inside that showing vulnerability is the right thing to do because we're all humans. But then they're up against this idea that they're supposed to be tough and they're supposed to be the boss and they're not supposed to show that human side. When you can get over that and people see that, the power of that connection, not only are you showing your vulnerability, but you're also giving people on your team permission to do the same. And when people can come to work and come to the work environment as their whole selves, bring everything they've got and feel safe doing it, then that is when you've got the winning formula for a high performance team. And, you know, Google Project Aristotle studied this. Google studied this many years ago. And they said the number one trait of a high performance team is psychological safety. So the leader that can do that, the leader that can bind that team together and make them feel safe so that they can bring their ideas forward, their crazy little eccentricities, whether they like to dance to AC/DC or whatever they like to do. When people can bring all of that to the table, you've got trust, you've got creativity, you've got innovation, and you've got a powerful team.
And yet, despite how wonderful it sounds and how much better it sounds than the alternative, you know, there is no change in the world that everyone's going to get behind. There is no approach or philosophy in the world that everyone is going to get behind. And in addition to just teaching people about authentic leadership and speaking about authentic leadership, you lived this. Now, how did you personally emphasize authentic leadership when you were working in the automotive industry as a CPO? And if you received pushback, what type of resistance did you face?
The first thing that comes to mind is the pushback about being told that I trusted my team too much. Being called in to the CEO and the VP of HR and being told that. And it was considered a bad thing. You know, and at first when they said it, I thought it was a compliment.
Because well, especially coming from HR, right? You would think trust would be something they'd want.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And this is, of course, before work from home was a thing, right? And I gave my people a lot of flexibility because one thing I've noticed, Kelly, slightly off topic, but one thing I've noticed is that the young men in the workforce today are taking their parenting responsibilities far more seriously than they used to years ago, right? Before it was all on the woman to handle the kids. And if the kid was sick, it was up to the woman to take care of it. But men are really, you know, stepping up to the plate. And I see that and I love it and I applaud it. And I wanted to give them the space to explore that. So I gave my team a lot of flexibility. And yes, I trusted them. And to me, it formed a strong foundation. So that's one way that I practiced authentic leadership. And the other, of course, which is, you know, I'm known for now is this idea of dancing. And I brought that into a conservative office. So picture this, a conservative tier one office building pre-COVID, my weekly staff meeting. And I said to everybody, I'd gone to a Tony Robbins concert, conference. And I said, I came back and I was all inspired. And I really understand how music and movement can change the way you think. The blood courses through your veins. I mean, there's a physical change and it improves engagement, the level of engagement. And so I asked my team to dance with me for 30 seconds at the beginning of a staff meeting. And they thought I'd lost my mind. And the poor guys that were on Zoom, because it was a global staff meeting, I'd make them dance and they'd be in an office in Germany or somewhere. And people must have thought they were crazy too. But what it did, Kelly, I mean, not only did it lighten the mood, but it broke them of this intense focus of their phones, the text messages, dealing with, you know, a million things going on in their head. It breaks that. And then you're able to have a much more focused, engaged discussion. And it worked.
Well, and I think what I like about that idea, sort of the connection between the physical and the psychological, and you've said several times during this conversation, whether it's about dancing or energy or someone being comfortable in their own skin, there is that connection. We talk so much about wanting more engagement and whether that's with information that we put out on social media or whether it's we talk about in meetings or on projects, trying to get engagement from people. It can be a very hard thing to capture. And sometimes the things that are easiest to capture that we would think of as proxies for engagement, like, okay, how many people viewed this video or how many people clicked, you know, thumbs up. But it doesn't really necessarily mean that they are actually engaged. You can sort of passively click a button as you're scrolling through social media and it means nothing, but there's no way you can deny a global team of people together, sort of hybrid, in-person, virtual, dancing that is absolutely engaged. You are in it together at that point.
Yes, yes, you're exactly right. It certainly helped employee engagement. And one of the things that I'm known for too is I'm the queen of the offsite. And again, this is a little bit more tricky in a COVID world, but I am such a firm believer in taking your team offsite for a meeting to focus on where you're headed, your vision, your mission, and also to talk about behavioral issues, the health of your team. You know, what are some of the problems? What are some of the roadblocks? You need to get alignment with key stakeholders. All these kinds of things have to be talked about, and that drives employee engagement. But again, you know, I was judged. Often the butt of jokes because I did that, because I insisted on taking my team offsite twice a year, a global team, to have these meetings. And it's incredibly powerful. And I think that now that we're in this world of the hybrid workforce, yes, leaders have to be far more intentional about having this type of meeting and this type of collaboration. You're going to have to make sure now that you schedule a meeting where it's a lunch or something where people come together and that they're comfortable from a health perspective, physical perspective, and a psychological perspective.
Absolutely. Well, and we don't work in easy times, right? In most quarters, things are getting better, thankfully, but you know, we're certainly not out of the thick of it yet. And so it makes my mind sort of turn to one of the questions that I always ask everyone that joins me here on The Sourcing Hero. And I've got an amazing range of answers to this question. Jan, when you think about the concept of heroism in a business setting, you know, we talk about The Sourcing Hero here, but not everybody that's appeared on this podcast as a guest is in sourcing, right? So it's really looking at this idea of what heroism means and then what it looks like, what it can do when you put it in the context of a business setting. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, when I think about The Sourcing Hero, I think about obviously my experience in sourcing, which is several decades. And I think that the hero in a business sense is somebody who really is able to step outside of the silo. It's to really make a business decision and bind the business together to focus on the business outcome. I mean, I can't even tell you how many years we've been talking about, you know, not to get too tactical, but total acquisition cost, right? Oh my gosh, I've heard that until I'm blue in the face. And every company's got a different model. But yet the finance people judge, and I'm going to use the word judge the sourcing people by purchase price variance to standard cost in direct material sourcing. So if that's what you're going to do, don't talk to me about total acquisition costs,
right?
Because it's not going to happen. So the sourcing hero to me is somebody who deals with that issue head on and says, wait a minute, you know, we can't say one thing and measure another. Let's get our heads together and figure out how we're going to do this together, collectively, as a business. That's a hero, somebody that pushes the boundary on that and forces that conversation.
Now, if someone is listening in, now I don't want to assume, so I'll let you correct me if I'm wrong, but from all of the times that I have worked with you and spoken to you, the energy, the willingness to sort of break outside the box seems to come very naturally from you. But if someone listening in is not that person who's naturally going to stand up and dance to AC/DC at the beginning of a meeting, and we want to create sort of a safe first step for them to take towards breaking out of the silo or trying something a little bit more energy related in order to stir up engagement or demonstrate engagement, do you have advice that you give? Or what's a first step? How can someone get started if they're trying to see the success, you know, start to feel confidence and take a risk in that direction?
Step one is you have to banish fear. There's so many stories that we have in our heads. You know, there's this fear of being liked, this fear of failing, of making a mistake, and then the fear of being fired. And it's much easier said than done. You know, I'm a single mom with a mortgage on a house. And as sort of out there and direct as I am, I knew that there was a line that I wouldn't cross. I wouldn't push my boss to the point that I thought he was going to fire me. So you've got to find that space where you test the waters, right? I just listened to Rich Sheridan, author of Joy Inc., and he was a keynote speaker at an event last week. And he uses this term, run the experiment. And I love that, right? So it's run the experiment. It's just start somewhere. You don't have to change anything, you know, change the world tomorrow, but start somewhere and start with this. Start by simply questioning your meeting cadence. How many meetings do you have? What are they there for? What are you trying to achieve? Is there a better way of doing it? Do you have meetings that are set up as check-in meetings, but they're really check-up meetings? Talk about your team health and the behaviors. Start to get into those conversations. I've got that download, 21 Traits of an Authentic Leader. That gives you a framework to start to have some of those discussions. Just start to talk about these things. That's step one, Kelly. And then, you know what? You'll see where what opens up. There will be a path that will open up. And then little by little, you can make the change. If everybody took one little step towards authentic leadership, imagine what we could do to the work culture.
Absolutely. I love the idea of starting with questioning meeting cadence because, first of all, everyone else is going to love it too if you can change things. No one was ever less meetings. Oh, right. That's a good way to win people over. And Jane, you've mentioned a lot of resources today. So we've talked about your podcast. We've talked about the not workshop opportunity digitally. You've talked about your download. If people want to connect with you, what is the best place to go or what is the best way for them to get in touch?
Yeah, you can find me through the website, gravitasdetroit.com, or you can email me directly. I love to hear from people directly, jan@gravitasdetroit.com.
Excellent. Well, Jan, thank you so much for joining me today on the Sourcing Hero podcast. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Always great to talk to you, Kelly.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for the Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well and always remember that you can be a hero too.